This is Ian Dayborn
on Cambridge 105 Radio.
So this year's festival, Paul, is on the 28th, 29th of March, so just over a month away. But I'm guessing you probably spend all year planning it, from the end of the last one to the start of the next one.
Exactly.
You're always planning?
Exactly. Yeah, no, the planning starts, well, the day it finishes, if not before. We have to set the date because all of our visitors who come from far away always want to know when it is the next year. We obviously have to think about when we're going to plant all the different daffodils for the festival. And then the logistics of trying to help 14,000 people in a village of 400 people, we have to plan that very carefully indeed.
So how did it all start? Where did the Daffodil Festival begin?
It started back in 1969 when the church roof had a bit of a leak and they wanted to raise some money for the church roof. And they did a village fete and they themed it around daffodils because daffodils grow very, very well in Triplo. And it was just sort of, OK, well, let's make it a daffodil festival. And that raised £209, which back then was a really good result.
Yes.
And they thought, well, we'll repeat it the year after. And it has repeated every year since, apart from one year when it was cancelled due to foot and mouth, because we couldn't let all the livestock move around.
Right.
And it's just grown and grown and grown since then. So it started as a village fete. It still is a village fete, but it's a village fete on steroids.
And how many people live in the village?
Well, depending on how you count it, it's either 350 or 400. And we're expecting around 14,000 people. So
my goodness.
You can imagine the amount of work, the amount of baking and the numbers of cups of tea that we have to prepare for that lot.
So is everybody involved, or most of the village? How does that work?
Well, it's even more than that, that we have to bus in people from all the neighbouring villages to help out, and friends and family and so on. So in a village of 350 people, last year I had a list of 450 volunteers. So it is an incredible sort of event in terms of getting people to pull together.
So are you the main man? Are you in charge of it all?
I steal all the credit for it, yes. I'm the chairman of it, but
right. Yeah,
nobody at this time of year will make eye contact with me because they know that they're going to get given a job if they talk to me.
And is it something, are you into agriculture? Do you grow daffodils yourself, and have you always done that?
No, before I came to Triplo, I didn't really know anything about daffodils. I just sort of thought they're nice yellow spring flowers,
yeah,
and that's about as far as I got. But it's a defence mechanism that you have to learn about daffodils if you're in Triplo. And yeah, I've learnt a lot over the last 16 years. You know, there's an unbelievable number of types of daffodil, it turns out.
Well, you said at the start about, you mentioned variety, and I thought, oh, there's more than one kind. So,
oh, yes.
Enlighten me.
Well, daffodils are split into 13 families, and there are over 25,000 named different varieties of daffodil. It's one of the most prolific sort of species there is. And in fact, in the village, you can see examples of all of the main varieties, and we have about 117 different types of daffodil planted that we know about. There's probably more than that, including one we're very proud of, which is actually Triplo Gold, which has been grown specially for Triplo. We have our own named daffodil. So, yeah, if you're interested in daffodils, come out, come and visit the village, because we've got them all, well, we haven't labelled them up yet, but in the next week or two, they'll all be labelled, so you can walk around, pick out your favourite variety and so on.
And are some of them quite rare?
There are some rare ones. We've actually got Van Sion on growing in the village at the moment, which is the first named daffodil in the UK, which was first named in 1640. We have a few other sort of quite interesting ones. We have, well, my particular favourite, which is called Medway Gold, which is the smallest UK daffodil, and that's actually smaller than my little finger. It's absolutely
really?
Tiny. Yeah, it's a really, really small little daffodil. And we plant that next to one called Meldrum Welsh Warrior, which is the biggest daffodil in the world, which is about a foot and a half to 2 foot tall and has a flower about the size of a big teacup.
Wow. So. And are they difficult to grow?
No, really, please grow some daffodils. They're great to grow. If there's an area where grass will grow, daffodils will grow there as
oh,
well.
Really?
So, yeah, that's a sort of an easy rule of thumb. Plant them in. Try and get them in earlier than most people think. Everyone sort of thinks, oh, I'll plant them sort of October, November time. It's actually better to plant them late September into October, and they'll come up, and they'll just keep coming up every year thereafter.
And you do, in terms of once you've planted them, Is there anything you need to do to tend them, or do they just grow once the bulbs are in?
They're pretty forgiving. They will just grow once you put the bulbs in. Plant them about 2.5 times the depth of the height of the bulb itself. You can feed them after they finish flowering if you want. A bit of a sort of high nitrogen fertilizer or something like that on them will help them along. The only other thing that they actually like to be done is if you deadhead them once the flowers have finished going, you just take the head off, and that means a bit more of the nutrients will go back into the bulb and they'll grow a bit better next year. But to be honest, they're a gardener's dream. They're just easy to grow.
And you say there are 117 varieties. Of that collection of varieties, how many varieties are typically commonly available for people in the UK? If I pop to the garden centre, will I just find one type, or can you find a bit of a selection?
There's usually a selection in the garden centre. You'll find the classics, which is the best miniature daffodil to grow is tete-a-tete, which is about sort of 8 to 10 inches tall, and it's a nice sort of standard little daffodil.
Yes.
Through to the classic one that everyone always grows, which is called King Alfred, which is the classic daffodil that everyone sees. And then you'll find a few others that are just sort of either white or yellow or whatever, but those are the main ones.
We've talked about the daffodils, but of course when you're organising an event like this, you have to have more than just the daffodils, I guess, don't you? Lovely though they are, you have all sorts of things going on. Tell us about what we can expect when we tip up at your festival this year.
Yeah, so there's an awful lot going on just beyond the daffodils. Don't worry if you're not interested in daffodils, there'll be plenty for you to do. It is everything you'd expect from a country fete, but it is basically Britain at its best. It's a warm and welcoming village, a typical old English village, where you can visit the various food stalls. We have two types of food stall. We have the Taste of Triplo, which is artisan food trucks that turn up, and a part of Taste of Triplo, we have a really good beer tent, which we call the Mean Gran, because it's the flip of our community-owned village pub, the Green Man. So we have the Mean Gran running at the same time.
You've got a community-owned village pub, have you?
It's a community-owned village pub and a community-owned shop as well in the village.
Wow.
It really is it's a phenomenal English village of everyone really strongly community-spirited pulling together. And that's what our visitors actually love about it, that they get to meet the locals and welcome them in. And then we have all of the craft and garden stalls that you would expect at an event like this, but we have very many of them. We actually have more retail outlets than Regent Street, we calculated.
Wow.
Which in a small village is good.
Yeah.
There's over 100 stalls selling things. We have old-fashioned horse and cart rides up and down the village street. There's Civil War reenactors. We have Country Triplo with gun dog scurries and all this sort of thing. And then we have Family Triplo, which is trying to put back into innocent family fun. So there's things like Punch and Judy shows there, chaos clowns and so on. And the feel we're trying to get across for the whole village is this is 1950s England. It's really nice, old-fashioned, family-friendly fun.
And do you have some old cars there, vintage cars?
We have vintage cars. We will also have a vintage steam engine. There'll be church bell ringing going on. There's a working smithy with a blacksmith making horseshoes and so on. So, yeah, it's just there's more than you can get done in a day.
Sounds lovely. It really does sound like a fantastic way of spending a weekend. And weather-wise, to use a word that doesn't really exist, how do you do with the weather? Are you normally lucky, unlucky, mixed?
It's mixed, obviously. I mean, running an outdoor event at the very start of spring is always going to have its issues. We've had weekends where it's been super hot. Last year was lovely both days when we ended up with record visitors. A year before, we had the Beast from the East, if you remember that. And we actually had snow on the ground. And oddly, that was almost my favourite daffodil weekend because, it was England at its best because everyone was just wrapped up warm and totally cold and miserable weather, and yet everyone was walking around sort of like with a big grin on their face saying, well this is good, isn't it?
Yeah, you cheered them up.
Yeah, cheered them up.
Did your job.
You know, and it was just good to see people enjoying it. But that did throw up some novel challenges that the snow came down, and of course the day before on the Friday we're marking out, putting all the marquees up and things like that, and we mark out where they're going to go in white paint. So then white snow comes down and you can't see where anything is anymore. And it was absolute chaos. But
sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
And it, all of this, of course, for good causes, because I mentioned earlier, and we should just briefly touch on the charitable side of the event, because you raise money for charity. What sort of, do you know off the top of your head, what sort of sum of money is normally raised at an annual event like this?
The total sort of amount of money that we raised last year that we can actually is free to sort of like put back into charity events is going to be somewhere between £40,000 and £50,000,
right,
which
wow.
is a big lump of money yeah. that you know, a small country village can actually raise. And we normally split that between external charities and internal, as it were, to the village or local villages charities. So this year we're helping the Royal Papworth Charity and also the East Anglian Air Ambulance, because we like to support big charities but ones that have a connection with the village. So they're both semi-local charities, and actually two people in the village actually made use of both of those in the last year, so we felt that was right.
Really? Well, I've had a text just come through from, I think it's from Ben, and he says he's loving the talk about Triplo Daffodil Weekend, says Ben, and he's pleased that Royal Papworth Charity are partnering to combat daffodil itch. So thank you, Ben. I'm not sure if the money will be going to daffodil itch, but I'm sure it'll be put to good use up there at Papworth. Well, hey, listen, it's been lovely, Paul, having you on and chatting with you, and I wish you, and we wish you all the very best. Hopefully one or two people listening will make their way. Maybe people haven't been before to Triplo on the 28th, 29th of March, and all the best with the weather and with raising loads of money for those good causes.